Here are the highlights from the latest episode of Free Talk Live. Visit freetalklive.com for the full episode.
I've been listening to you guys talking quite a bit about New Hampshire secession for the past week or so.
Mm-hmm.
And I am absolutely astonished that nobody has brought up the fact that there is a television show about a town in New Hampshire that declares independence from the United States.
What is this?
It's called The Republic of Sarah, and it's on the CW network, and you can actually stream it free on the CW app.
Is it any good?
It's not bad. I think the writers decided to sexy it up a little bit, so they added in a bunch of stuff that's not really related to the secession story.
But is it fiction, or is this like a historical kind of drama?
It's definitely fiction. It's set in the present day.
Present day, okay.
And there's a corporation that gets in bed with the state government and uses eminent domain to take over a bunch of land in this town for a mining operation. And the residents of the town make a discovery that apparently the land that they sit on was never formally claimed by the U.S. or Canada, and they've just been acting like a U.S. territory, so they declare their independence.
Cool, a little bit like Liberland, where you've got over in, I think it was the Danube River, if I recall correctly,
yes,
between Serbia and Croatia. There's like a little spot, which is sort of disputed territory. Definitely this is a possibility, right, for up here. And in fact, we've had Dave Ridley calling in over the last week or so talking about secession. And his one concern was that it costs the state money to have a hearing. So every time there's a bill that's put forward, and there's like 800 to 1,000 bills every year in New Hampshire. It costs some amount of money for whatever bureaucrats, need to be in the state house and the power and the air conditioning or the heating or whatever to have this hearing. And somewhere Ridley had heard that it costs around $2,000 taxpayer dollars to hold just one of these hearings. Now, whether that's true or not, I don't know. Maybe he's taking the whole budget of the state house and dividing it by the number of bills. I'm not sure.
More than that, too.
Who knows? I don't know where that number comes from. I mean, the fact is they're meeting in that state house whether or not Bill A is filed versus Bill B. But regardless, that was his one concern, what was holding him back from like moving forward with trying to get some sort of secession bill filed in the state legislature. He's not a legislator, but he wants to see New Hampshire exit the United States just as much as any of us, any of the rest of us. And he's one of the, I would say, biggest doers in New Hampshire. He's one of the longest.
Yes.
He moved here in 2004, I think.
He's the reason I'm here.
He's incredible. And
he influenced me to move here.
Actually, I've been following him probably longer than anybody else, any activist, actually.
Yeah, because he's been here longer. And a great activist. He's ballsy in real life. He's willing to take risks. I find that people are open to the idea of leaving the United States. As much as people might sort of on one hand feel patriotic towards the United States, like they probably like the flag and, they like the military or whatever, they also know that the U.S. government's corrupt as hell and that it's not going to get any smaller anytime soon.
I think people are starting to realize that they were duped. It always has been corrupt as hell.
Mm-hmm.
And now they're starting to wake up to this, like, I have a new assistant at my job, and I was talking to her the other day just really as a meet and greet for the first time kind of thing over the phone, and we got talking, and it turns out she's got a lot of ideas that are pretty libertarian. And
is she from here?
She's from Washington State.
Oh, okay.
So, but it turns out that, I got onto the topic of cops, and she's like, well, these people hate the cops. I'm like, let me walk you through this real quick. So we did, and by the end of it, she's like, well, dang, I never really looked at it that way. So, everybody's seen the light. Most people, I think, have seen the light in the last year specifically, including her. And I think that now more than ever is a good time to start offering other solutions and decentralization and things like that. Because
it's not a solution to say, oh, we'll throw the bums out in D.C. That never works.
Yeah, I think it's time for 50 states to secede from the 50 states.
Absolutely. But you got to have one go first.
Pointing out that there are people trying to control you,
mm-hmm.
Trying to tell you what to do, is really going to motivate people as individuals.
I hope so. But the fact is, the psychopaths out there, the sociopaths who believe that they are the state, not just believe in the state, but believe they are the state, you know, they're not going to be ignored. They're going to come to you with guns. They're going to raid your home. They're going to kidnap you, your loved ones. They're going to destroy your life if you don't, you know, obey their diktats. And so something needs to change.
Yes, and it needs to be changed quickly because this is not a free country.
No,
we cannot have 380 million people walking around thinking they're in a free country.
Do they think that though?
I think they do.
I don't know.
I don't know. I don't think enough
of
them
anymore. No one talks about that anymore.
I don't think they give it enough thought. Mm-hmm. I don't think it's like I was raised.
They take it for granted.
They take it for granted. It's just a colloquialism at this point. They keep repeating it over and over. And I think they do the same thing in other countries. I think Russia talks. I heard Vladimir Putin the other day complaining about he was getting railroaded by a reporter in an interview, and he chided the guy on this doesn't look like free speech. So it's like free speech is obviously something that's talked about in other places, but when you and I, we were, you know, Joe and Captain Kickass and Ario, we go on the radio and we're talking about freedom things, we catch heat for it. It's clear that we're being targeted.
So I was calling because you guys talking about the Pledge of Allegiance and all that really reminds me of a story that or an experience I have back when I was like in middle school that really just like kind of pisses me off every time I think about it now. Well, see, because one time, you know, every morning, he was just saying we had to say the Pledge of Allegiance before school started, you know, when we were in homeroom. And I remember one day we did these little quiz, like two question quizzes at the beginning of class. And you know, we always had those in the morning, but one day I was sitting there doing mine and the announcements came on and we were supposed to stand up and do the Pledge of Allegiance. And I didn't, you know, I was just sitting there finishing up my thing. And then I stood up halfway through and, you know, was still reading my little thing while I was standing up. And afterwards, you know, I didn't think much of it. After class, the teacher pulled me to the side and said she expected a 6-page essay tomorrow on why what I did that morning was disrespectful and that her son was a veteran and all that. And of course, me growing up in rural Tennessee, I was like, oh my gosh, I didn't mean to offend your son, blah, blah. So I wrote like, I think I wrote like 2 pages or something like that because I really didn't want to do it. And I didn't like the teacher much either way. And of course, she called the principal. The principal was like, you're going to write this essay. And I was like, oh, okay, whatever. I wrote it. And I did. And then I actually didn't write it, you know, and I got suspended for 3 days for insubordination and disobedience. And every time I think about that, it really just makes me so mad.
If you're going into a court and you're, which I don't know if courts even let you in these days because they started locking down last year and I don't know if they've unlocked anywhere, but once in theory you can actually go into a court again, if you are going to stay seated for the judge, which is your religious right to do, it should be your freedom just generally to do, but certainly, you know, my religious belief is no man is greater than another man, so I'm not going to stand for anybody else, whatever their robe or crown or whatever they're wearing, always sit in that front row. Because that way other people in the courtroom can see you not obeying. And that's just always, you know, something to give people something to think about. But once you actually start to hit the numbers of people like we can do here in New Hampshire and have done in the past when there's a court hearing, we get people to come out to that hearing. Once you get to the point of, it's usually about half. If you've got half of the people in that courtroom, and they're all sitting in a place where it's visible by everybody else in the courtroom, and the judge comes into the chamber, and then the bailiff bellows, "All rise," and you don't.
And nobody does.
Then there's a good chance that the rest of the people in that courtroom, they're looking at you, and they're going to go along with you because there's enough of you staying seated. I've seen it happen.
It's like breaking the cognitive dissonance.
Yeah.
And it was so awesome at Pete Nademo's trial down in Greenfield, Mass, when there was probably, 40 freestaters in that courtroom. And All Rise, this big fancy courtroom.
I was calling to let everybody know about this, I guess, a dead man switch that John McAfee allegedly has. It's had a countdown timer for, and it's been going on for, you know, about a month, or at least since he died, and there's like 10, actually there's 7 hours left on it, and it's going to premiere some sort of live stream video, and it's at britbonglogpost.com.
This is not an easy website to access right now, and that's, I imagine, because it's being slammed with requests. So, I mean, McAfee probably didn't expect having this much interest, I guess, because as of right now, the website is not even responding. So it is probably being inadvertently denial of service attacked, basically, by
or
so many
people.
Or it
could be intentionally DOS attacked.
It could very well be. Yeah, that's a possibility as well. BritBongLogPost.com. Now, where did you catch on to this? How did you find out about this, Jimmy?
Well, it's strange. I was actually listening to the Stuff They Don't Want You to Know podcast, and they did a whole thing about John McAfee, his whole life, you know, went over his whole life and everything.
Hey, Daily Digest listeners, this is Riley Blake. I enjoy Free Talk Live, and I know you do too, but finding time to listen to an entire episode isn't always easy, so I produce the Daily Digest. I appreciate those of you who have supported me on Patreon and sent Bitcoin to me to thank me for producing these digests. For those who wish to support me on Patreon, visit patreon.com/crblake86. If you wish to send Bitcoin, visit patreon.com/crblake86 for those details. That's patreon.com/crblake86. Thank you.
Joey, you're pretty excited about the gold bag.
Oh, I'm very excited. Just seeing how much we were able to use it over at Porkfest, Forkfest, and almost every single vendor was taking them. And the ones that weren't came around later on.
Really?
Oh, yeah, most likely. And it was just great. It was a great ride to trade. And, you know, we all knew it had a trade value of four. Some people are doing it for a lot less, but I was like, I guess I'm not going to purchase from you if you're going to take it for less. And, you know, the markets adjusted themselves and people were very receptive to them. I was selling them to kids and they were flipping them for five. I was selling
That's
them for
awesome.
Four, I sold them for five. And so,
why don't we describe what a gold back is for listeners that are new?
A laminate sprayed with 24 karat gold and has a nice image of, the ones that I was dealing with were New Hampshire ones.
But there's also Utah and Nevada, and I believe the next one's going to be Wyoming, I think they're doing.
Yeah, I think it was Wyoming.
Yeah.
Yeah. And so it was a big thing there. It was
and it's
really
one one-thousandth of an ounce of gold.
For the one denominator, yes.
Yeah. And, right. So that's the denomination, and then there's fives, tens, 25s and 50s.
That's correct.
And those are also 50 thousandths of an ounce, 25 thousandths of an ounce, and so on. And if you think about it, one 1,000th of an ounce of gold is not a lot of gold. It's a speck,
right?
Basically. You think about the size of an ounce of gold and then cut that into 1,000 pieces, and that's how much gold is in one of these gold bags.
Right.
I brought a bunch of these things to the Porcupine Freedom Festival last year. And Forkfest as well, and I had no problem spending these things. In fact, I spent every meal that I ate in a 2-week-long period, I paid for with goldbacks. Normally, I go to these events and I pay with crypto. I didn't pay with crypto once.
Because, yeah, I got a bunch of them from you.
Yeah, because I was buying with goldbacks, and I also had no issue getting vendors who had never seen it before. Now, you knew what it was, Matt, but the average vendor was their first time hearing about and or seeing the goldback, and they were excited and interested in taking it. And Joey, you said that the vendors this year were similarly interested, and the few that didn't initially changed their minds.
Yeah, especially since crypto was kind of low, and people were holding or hodling, and they didn't want to use their crypto, so they found an alternative, and there you go, goldbacks. Look at that.
And you got excited enough to where you apparently went around to local businesses in the area, or at least one, right?
Yeah.
Tell us the story there.
So if you go to Lancaster House of Pizza, they will take goldbacks there. A few people were, bugging them to take goldbacks for a bit, and then the guy who's that had the booth there at Porkfest,
right? Because they actually sent somebody from Utah. He drove apparently out here.
Yeah.
And was there one guy or did more than
two guys? Two guys. Yeah.
Two guys.
Yeah.
So a team of guys from Goldback.com.
Yeah.
Came
one
out.
Was a sales guy. The other was their general counsel.
Oh, cool.
Yeah.
And they made a personal appearance. Stayed there the whole week, right? And
talked to
people, set up a table, that sort of thing.
If the people who are trying to control the world and control every one of our lives want to continue to do that, they're going to have to bring something to market that competes.
Yeah, I can see, the government can only really control this in the sense that they can shut down the grid, right, when it comes to crypto.
Mm-hmm.
You can't shut down goldbacks. They're in your pocket. you know? So you're holding tangible currency in your hand. And when people see that shiny gold, they want
it. They talk about it.
Yeah.
They have questions. They're curious.
They understand right away that this is gold. This is precious.
Yeah, versus, and it like has really nice artwork, too. They have great art pieces on each bill. Beautiful. Really well done. It's very super professional. Really nice.
For a while, when I was trading the gold backs, people were just like kind of awe and inspired by them. And they probably would put them away, right? Like the larger denominators now versus the ones. And so it seems like they might be framing those few, which is creating scarcity. Thank you. Mm-hmm. You know, we can go further with this. And when you buy some gold backs, crumple them up in your hand. Crumple them up.
No, don't.
Don't. Crumple them up.
I did that.
Actually, the first one I got was from a good friend of mine, and it was all scratched up, crumpled up. And I'm like, what is this? And I was like, oh, this makes me want to trade it. When it's flat and shiny and new, I don't want to get rid of it.
I don't like the idea of states. I want to see the idea of states, governments, you know, nations all go away, and let's decentralize down to individual freedom. That'd be nice.
I live in the Shire.
Yeah, I like that. But unfortunately, there are still people who believe in the state, and they will continue to propagate that belief until they can somehow be persuaded to either leave this particular landmass or change their minds. One or the other.
It's funny because the other day I was looking up what it meant, what Shire meant. It means country.
Does it?
It does.
According to ABC News, if you're going to go with a state, you might as well go with New Hampshire of all the 50 states because, well, it seems like the least bad in a lot of ways. And here's another example. Now, there's no doubt that New Hampshire was not the least bad when it came to COVID restrictions, or at least seeming COVID restrictions. I think Ari and I touched on this the other night. It's like, well, they had a quote-unquote stay-at-home order, but if you actually read the order, there was a loophole that was written into the order that basically said as long as you feel like you need to go out for a certain thing, you could do that. So, I mean, most people never read the order, so they didn't know that, so they just did what they thought they were being told to do. But we went out for 36 weeks in a row in Central Square in downtown Keene, New Hampshire on Friday nights at midnight, and we threw a party, and they never did anything to us except one weekend. I think they wrote us some parking tickets. There's the public perception of law matters, and, you know, you got to crack down, and you got to punish people. But the provision later was folded into the state budget, and because he doesn't have line item veto authority, Sununu signed the budget on June 25th. Now, we touched on the budget here on Free Talk Live because there are a bunch of free staters who are in the state legislature. There are a bunch of people who might describe themselves as voluntarists and anarchists that are actually elected Republicans in the New Hampshire legislature, and they formed a coalition called, I believe, the Freedom Caucus in the state legislature, and these guys stood firm on this budget. It was like a brutal, you know, political-wise fight over this particular budget, and they put Sununu in a position where he, you know, the time had run out or whatever. I'm not sure exactly what the political maneuverings were. I'm sure it was ugly and awful, but they managed to put this guy in a position where he felt like he had to sign this budget, and it included some provisions that Sununu himself wouldn't have verbally supported. But he had to do it because if he didn't, then the state budget would fail or something, and then, you know,
they wouldn't have one.
Time would run out and they wouldn't have a budget. We've been on Library for years. Now, Library is an uncensorable, decentralized, blockchain-based media sharing protocol, and we're big fans of it here on Free Talk Live. In fact, we've been on Library since it was called Library, but they recently kind of did a rebrand, or they sort of launched a different website. They launched a site called Odyssey. And it's spelled funny. If you go to video.freetalklive.com, it'll take you right to our channel on Odyssey. Basically, they're competing with YouTube. They've got this decentralized video sharing site, and it's amazing. It's really taken off. There's over a million channels apparently already on Odyssey, which is awesome.
Amazing.
A lot of these people, like you mentioned, Joe, Breaking the Flaw, that's your channel.
Yes, thank you.
You started on YouTube, but you found out about Odyssey and Library, and you made the move over there. You're still on YouTube, but they can pull your channel down anytime they want.
Well, they kind of already did that in the shadow way, you know.
Oh, really?
I got reduction in views. Like
your
crazy.
Searches are reduced, that kind of thing. Yeah, and so they can take you down completely if they want to as well, and they've certainly threatened the Free Talk Live channel. We're sitting with two strikes right now. So that could go away anytime. But
it's scary how much control the technocracy has over like media.
Well, they're talking now. If you get banned from one social media, You get banned from them all.
Why not? That's what they did to Donald Trump earlier this year.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So we've been on Library as well for years, and they've got a cool program called the YouTube Partner Program where anybody with a YouTube channel, now they actually make it so when you sign up at Odyssey, they ask you if you have a YouTube channel.
I want to share some big personal news with you guys.
All right.
Just this week, I accepted a new position that's remote, and I handed in my notice this week to my current employer, and I plan on making the move to New Hampshire in the next few months.
Come home, man.
Wow. Congratulations.
I'm so excited. They at my current company, they asked me the reason, and I shared the news with them that, you know, there's a cause that I'm really passionate about, and it's the Liberty Movement.
Good for you.
In New Hampshire, and I want to devote my energy to it. So.
Very nice. Thank you. Have you ever visited us before over here?
Yeah, he's been in the studio.
You
probably met him at some point.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Yeah, Joe, we actually met at a Porcupine Freedom Festival, although I think it was very quickly.
This year?
This year, yeah.
Remind me of your name again?
Dumpster.
Dumpster. Sorry. I can't. I met so many people. And this one, so much memory.
You know when you live in a place where there's so many Liberty people, you can't remember it? Even when they have a name
great.
Like even when they have a name like Dumpster, like that ought to stand out to you. It won't. There's so many people here. You know, so yeah, this is Matt speaking. I'd love to meet you again. If I met you before, I'd love to meet you again. But Porcupine Freedom Festival?
No, he came up back in, what was it, December or something like that?
Yeah, I came in December after Christmas time.
I just want to tell people about the latest update for Nobody, the last of the Crypto Six still incarcerated.
That's our co-host, our friend. He's been in prison now in pretrial confinement, as it's called, in a jail cell in the Merrimack County Spiritual Retreat since March 16th. So now more than 4 months. Straight, he's been in a cage because, well, allegedly, he was involved in spreading Bitcoin.
God forbid.
Yeah.
Well, his hearing for bond is tomorrow morning at 11 a.m. Eastern.
Mm-hmm.
That is open to the public on Zoom, and the Zoom information is on the website, thecrypto6.com.
Oh, nice.
And, of course, we want a great turnout as this is a really, really important hearing, not only for Nobody, but also just for the definition of what crypto is. In addition to people being on Zoom, if you're not local, but if you are local, I personally will be in the parking lot in hopes that he's released.
I just wanted to let everybody know that Mr. Bitcoin and Bitcoin Gandhi will be making an appearance at 55 Pleasant Street in Concord, that's the federal courthouse, this Monday at 10 a.m.
Nice.
So mark your calendars. We got 4 people going so far, but hopefully there will be more.
Well, I'll be there. I'll be there filming.
Oh, good, Joe. That's what I wanted to know.
Yeah.
Got it.
Check out Joe's channel, of course, Breaking the Flaw on Odyssey, O-D-Y-S-E-E.
Thank you.
Or just
don't mention the other one.
Yeah, okay. I wasn't going to.
Yes. Well, we will be starting out at 10 a.m., and then we will go to the FBI field office in Chelsea, Massachusetts around noon, and then we'll go to the Boston Federal Reserve Building. So it's going to be an action-packed day.
Sure is.
Wow.
Love it. I think it's fantastic. I mean, the whole idea of having Bitcoin Gandhi, who, for listeners that don't know, Dave Ridley, he's called in a number of times over the years here on Free Talk Live. He walked 24 days around southern New Hampshire, going to different police departments, submitting grievances to them, speaking to people just on the streets, on the road, dressed as Gandhi.
And speaking with a Gandhi accent,
yeah,
and wearing Gandhi glasses.
Yeah.
Never breaking character.
Never breaking character. If he was dressed as that, he was in that character.
So let's say there's no government and there's no state, right? And you basically want to have a building that's run a certain way. So one way is a housing cooperative. Everybody has equal shares. They elect a board, and that board decides the no pets policy and everything else about the building. and you know, like a house owners association or something. Mm-hmm. The other one is a landlord, basically says it's my way or the highway. If you don't like it, then go to some other landlord.
Yep, those are two common organizational models.
Exactly. So I would say that the first one is more like democracy. The second one is more like a monarchy, where there's one person in charge, and if you don't like it, you can try to go somewhere else.
Mm-hmm.
So I've lived in both. I grew up in a housing cooperative. There's a lot of these in New York City. They're called Mitchell Llama, named after two senators that basically gave tax breaks if you were to build something like this. And actually, they were built by Fred Trump. Fred Trump built a lot of these.
Is that Donald Trump's dad?
Yes.
Okay.
So he built a lot of housing that was actually pretty socialist because of this whole cooperative thing, or at least the way that I use the word socialist. But the point being that if you let the experiment run for 30 years, what happens is these buildings are super cheap.
You just heard highlights from the latest episode of Free Talk Live. You can download full episodes, subscribe to our podcast, listen live, and more, all for free at freetalklive.com.